word on Today FM.
John Gibbons is with us for our weekly environment spot. Good evening to you, John. Now, we had earlier Seamus Coffey from the Fiscal Advisory Council on with us, and he was saying about that the 8 billion in fines that were mentioned by the Climate Advisory Council earlier as potential for Ireland not meeting its climate change obligations by 2030 could be way, way bigger than that. But what do you think we're likely to do now that the Greens are no longer in government? Is it going to mean a change in policies that could, in pandering to public opinion and dislike for green measures, actually mean we'll end up spending loads more money in the future in fines?
Yeah, good evening, Matt. I think it's a fair point, and I'm glad this conversation has been framed around what IFAC have had to say, because I think there's been an air of unreality in the lead-in to the general election, because I think people thought there was easy choices available, that they could reject all that green crap, as it were, and just continue on without having to deal with it. And really what Seamus Coffey has done is reminded us that there are no free passes, there's no free lunches on climate action. We either deal with it, we either pay now, or we pay a great deal later. And I think you said in your intro there, what we're looking at here is spending more than the entire Apple tax dividend potentially on having to buy our way out of this.
You see, John, I wonder though, is that going to happen? I'll tell you why, because the European economy is so banjaxed at present. I wonder if something will happen at European Union level which will decide we're not going to follow these climate change measures and we're not going to fine ourselves for not meeting them, because there will be a dash for re-establishing growth in the economy. And you can argue all you want that in the long term or even the medium term is bad for Europe and bad for the world, but short term politics will mean that countries will not get fined and will not implement measures which are unpopular with large sections of the electorate.
I can certainly see that line of thinking, but I think, again, Seamus Coffey offered the alternate line, which is that if you look at countries like France that have overperformed, they're going to be expecting money back from this fund. Clearly, we're going to have to deal with this, and whether Europe kicks it around remains to be seen. But what I do find incredibly interesting, just watching this domestically unfold, I listened to James Lawless, the Fianna Fáil negotiator, earlier today, Matt, and apparently the problem, just so we know, the reason why we're in this situation apparently is down to the Greens. Apparently they were at the table, they talked about all these things, but they didn't actually deliver. I have to say, you know, Fianna Fáil, you have to take your hat off to them. They're now managing to blame the Greens for underperforming on the thing that the Greens went into government on. I mean, it is absolutely priceless.
Okay, but hold on a second. Is that the fact? Do we actually need the Greens in government to deliver on the measures? Because aren't a lot of them actually things that we're already committed to because of our EU agreements? And even if the Greens are not in government, there still is going to have to be investment in public transport. There still has to be further reductions in agricultural emissions and all the rest of it. And that goes on regardless of who's in government.
That is the theory, Matt, but the reality is, and I'll quote the outgoing Green Party Minister Oisín Smith here, he said that Fianna Fáil in particular had to be, quote, dragged kicking and screaming on almost all environmental issues. And he said that the government nearly collapsed, in fact, in the lead into the election, because both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael tried to pull, and apparently have succeeded in pulling, 3.15 billion euros from the Climate and Nature Fund. So this is simply not in these people's DNA. There needs to be somebody behind them goading them along. And it has never been enough for domestic populist parties like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to have to worry about the EU. Because, for example, Matt, the EU told us in 1999, 25 years ago, they said, you've got to stop destroying the bogs. And do you think anybody listened? Absolutely not. We listened to populist politics instead. So, no, you need a strong green voice. And I say that with a small g, by the way. That could be one of the other parties as well. The big danger here, of course, is that having thrown out the Greens and probably about to reject the two other political parties, that we have instead a combination Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael with some independents. And basically, that impetus for change is gone. And things like the sort of things that you refer to there, like, for example, investment in public transport. I was going through the Fianna Fáil manifesto and the Fine Gael manifesto, and what they like more than anything else is building roads, because, of course, every local politician loves opening new roads. So,
John, don't you need to do both? Because the population is expanding so rapidly. We could be over 7 million people within the next couple of decades, that even if you put in all the Lewis buses around the country in various cities, even if you have rapidly expanded bus networks, even if you have more intercity trains, the reality is, with the way the population is going, that there's going to be more cars on the roads, and we need roads for those.
Well, that's a sort of a chicken and egg proposition, Matt. I think we're approaching, if we haven't already passed peak car. If you go back about 15 or 20 years, there was about, I think it was a million cars on the road. We're now at 2.3 million, right? I appreciate the population has increased in that time, but car usage, the amount, not just the number of cars in use, but the amount of miles or kilometres travelled in them, has increased dramatically. We overuse our cars in Ireland compared to other European countries. And for years, we've heard the excuse, there's no rural transport, there's no nothing. So the Greens put a huge amount of political capital into building up rural transport, got no credit for it from the electorate, got wiped out for it, and now you have other politicians saying, oh yeah, we're all in favour of rural transport. These are the same politicians, Matt, who said that rural Ireland, it's impossible to do public transport in rural Ireland. So again, it's down to really whether parties in government are prepared to make difficult choices or whether they simply want to run with the popular one. Now, to go back...
Something else there? Because sure. I wonder as well how much damage was done to the Greens by Friends of the Earth the Monday before the election. And I think the Greens were in deep, deep trouble anyway. And the opinion polls showed us that support had collapsed, and that then played out with only one exiting of the 12 TDs, Roderick O'Gorman, saving his seat. But when Friends of the Earth came out on Monday and said Labour's policies are better, the Social Democrats' policies are better, and marked the Greens down into third place, for anybody who was motivated to vote on environmental reasons, maybe that's what brought them to Labour and brought them to the Social Democrats. And the Friends of the Earth report was the death knell for the Greens.
Well, that's obviously putting a lot of onus on that one report, but I agree with you. I think the timing of it was, it reminded me of the Comey report back for Hillary Clinton back in 2016. It hit at a really bad time. And I bumped into a bunch of Green Party canvassers, I think the morning after that, down on my way to the Dart. And they were very despondent about it, to be honest with you. And I agree with you. I think the point is, I don't think there was any malice intended in the report. Of course there wasn't. But what they were trying to do really was to set it against a bunch of specific criteria. The issue really, Matt, is that the Friends of the Earth document attempted to assess future action. It didn't take any account of the existing track record of success. And I think...
But sorry, does that not show a degree of naivety? And does that not show that perhaps there's not enough political cunning on the part of environmentalists to find ways to persuade others to support them in saving the planet?
Sure. I can't speak to that. I really can't. It's difficult to say. Look, I think it was very unfortunate. I think, for example, if that document had been put out earlier, I think it would have had less impact. But I think you're right. It was a sort of a Comey moment, and it certainly didn't help. And I think I would say, though, I think it's really important to stress this, that there were three parties in the outgoing government that worked together very successfully. What happened in the lead into the election is that the two big parties ganged up together to blame the Greens for everything, and also to make sure that Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael voters did not transfer to the Greens. So there's no question, and this, by the way, is a lesson for anybody thinking of going in with either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. They will destroy you. Given the chance, they will burn you to the ground. They will blame you for everything, and they'll take credit for everything positive that you do. And they're not to be trusted, I'm sorry to say, in government. First of all, they're not to be trusted in government alone. But second, heaven help, Matt, anybody who goes into government with these parties.
Which means then that the Labour and the Social Democrats are unlikely to do so, but then who's going to stand up for climate interests? Noel says, the so-called sophisticated Irish electorate has spoken in the general local elections. They have decided that the climate crisis isn't for us. They've decided to have no truck with that nonsense that's costing us money. We've shot the messengers like the intelligent electorate we are. So I was going to suggest to you, John, there are certainly three problems for the Greens if they are going to restore themselves politically. One is that others like Labour and the Social Democrats have stolen their clothes, which may not necessarily be a bad thing if it means there are still those who are going to be pushing forward the environmental agenda. Secondly, I'm not sure that Roderick O'Gorman has the sort of charisma that Eamon Ryan possessed to restore the Green Party. I know Eamon Ryan was something of a lightning rod for an awful lot of dissatisfaction, but he was also appealing in his seriousness and endeavour to many voters. So I don't know whether the well-intentioned and intelligent Roger O'Gorman is going to be as attractive in rebuilding the party to voters. But then there's also the sort of fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me principle that I think a lot of voters might apply. They gave the Greens the second chance after 2011 and they feel it didn't work out, so they may not do so for the second time, John.
Yeah, interesting thoughts, Matt. And if I can loop back to your texture there for a second, right? There was an exit poll. This is not an opinion poll, Matt, but an exit poll, right, after the election. And 51% of voters said that the outgoing government, quote, hasn't gone far enough to address climate change. And I will add, that is the outgoing government. That included Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, not just the Greens, right? All, and on the other hand, only 20% of people thought that they'd gone too far. So clearly, the notion that now that the Greens are out of government, we can all breathe a sigh of relief and get back to it, that's not proven to be the case at all. And interestingly, Matt, and this I think is really worth stressing, 47% of Fianna Fáil voters, 44% of Fine Gael voters said their government hadn't gone far enough. Now, this idea that this was just a green peccadillo, that once the Greens were gone, we can get back to business as usual, I'm sorry to say, and this may be a wake-up call maybe for James Lawless in particular in Fianna Fáil, to remind them that even their own electorate have moved on this, and they need to wake up to the fact that we now live in a climate changed environment, and we're going to have to deal with this. And as the IFAC report showed earlier, if we're not prepared to deal with it, then we're going to get hammered with fines. But more than that, Matt, I think if you were to ask me what was the one thing that was missing from the lead in to the election, and I'm sorry to say that what was missing was, for 12 months, thankfully, we didn't have a proper weather disaster in Ireland. We were seeing them in Britain, we saw them right across Europe, right across the world, but Ireland just got lucky. And what that meant is public attention to the climate disaster that is banging on the doors all over the world. It wasn't a visceral okay. experience for people in this election, Matt. And I think that probably more so than the Friends of the Earth report, more than anything else, that sense of anxiety, that sense that we need to act, that was probably missing.
Okay, well, there's a couple of more comments from listeners. The Green Vote collapsed because no one wants to be preached at all the time. Climate change is going to happen. Accept it. And another one says, the Greens created the cost of living crisis. Why would anyone vote for them? No, I'd suggest it was Russia's invasion of Ukraine which created the cost of living crisis. But definitely there would have been a lot of people, John, who felt that things like carbon taxes and other measures exacerbated that.
Yeah, carbon taxes again became a lightning rod. And they're a favourite one. In fact, Sinn Féin, I think, did themselves absolutely no favour either by trying to make political gain and failing, by the way, around carbon taxes. But just to put this in context, right, the VAT and excise on a litre of petrol, Matt, is about 70 cent. The carbon tax is 15 cent, right? Now, that carbon tax, by the way, is largely ring-fenced and mostly goes back to making good things cheap, like retrofitting, like solar panels and so on. So therefore, when you pay that carbon tax, it's coming right back to us in the form of green measures. Now, but it's only a drop in the bucket compared to the big taxes. And of course, the international environments, the invasion of Ukraine, these were the things that sent our energy prices skyrocketing. And the fact that we're still importing nearly 90% of our energy in the form of fossil energy, Matt, as long as that continues, we will continue as an economy, as a society, to be hugely vulnerable to external shocks, economic shocks coming in. And I would have said that the big program for any incoming government is, how can we create a more resilient Ireland for the future? And the big shocks, Matt, that are coming, the climate shocks, yes, the economic shocks for sure, but we're also going to be looking at food shocks. These are the things that we're seeing being projected at us loud and clear, dramatic increase,
John,
in food.
Nobody
prices.
Wants to hear it. You see, isn't this part of the problem for people who genuinely believe this and can produce all sorts of evidence, but the reality is people don't want to hear it.
I think that's fair, Matt. And I think in the heel of the hunt, what will happen is politics, as we see it now, will be overtaken by events. We see these events, like at the moment, people like myself and other people who look at this stuff very closely, we're basically seeing the gathering storm. It's heading towards us now. We either hunker down and prepare for that in the best way that we can through a combination of climate mitigation and lots of adaptation here in Ireland, or we just continue, you know, fingers in the ear, like some of those texters of yours, and to just, you know, whistle Dixie and hope that it passes by. This will not pass us by. It won't pass anybody by. And I think the best thing we can do is together, come together to prepare for it, to develop resilient food systems, resilient transport systems, and basically a sort of a climate resilient Ireland is the best bet, Matt, for everybody.
Thank you very much, John Gibbons.
The last word on Today FM.